It is Thursday, December 26th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice. Theater Squared's new stage adaptation of A Christmas Carol will host performances now through December 29th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studios. Dickens' classic tale of redemption, Ebenezer Scrooge and the Ghost That Haunt His Bedchamber, is reimagined for Northwest Arkansas audiences in this new production. Tickets and more information available at theater2.org or 443-5600. Later on this edition of Ozarks, we take stock of some of the best music made in 2013. Robert Ginsberg has his annual review of the year in jazz, and Kevin Kinder joins me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio for our annual comparison of our favorite music of 2013 lists. First, earlier this month, New York Times political correspondent Jonathan Martin was in Arkansas. During his visit, he stopped by the set of KARK's Pure Politics show, Capital View. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas, along with his co-host David Goines, quizzed Martin on the spotlight of Arkansas's U.S. Senate race and those prospects for Hillary Clinton's expected presidential run in 2016.
When we look at 2014 coming up next year, obviously the biggest race in Arkansas deals with this U.S. Senate race with Mark Pryor and Tom Cotton. Last time we talked to you, Cotton had not yet gotten in the race.
Right.
He's now in the race. Is this a race that's being talked about pretty closely in Washington?
I think it's one of the marquee races in the country, perhaps the marquee race in the country, for a lot of reasons, but mostly because Mark Pryor is probably the most sought after Democratic seat in the country. Now, the Republicans want to take back the Senate next year, obviously, and they see Pryor as the most vulnerable Democrat in the country in the Senate in terms of the incumbents to go after, because Arkansas, as you and your viewers know well, is a conservative-leaning state. It has shifted in recent years toward the Republican Party, but obviously Mark Pryor is the last Democratic holdout in the state's congressional delegation, so he obviously is a top target for Republicans here. But they know it's going to be a tough race because Mark Pryor has a brand name in this state that goes back for well over 40 years because of his father's service as governor and senator. And Mark Pryor has been a very popular figure here in recent years. Didn't even have an opponent in 2008. And here he is, the top target this time around. Shows you how politics has changed in this state and in the country.
And one of the things that I see some chickens being counted before they're hatched in terms of the GOP at times in this race and in some other races in Arkansas, because they do feel like that the state has trended so Republican in recent years. But there's still a lot of time for the sands to shift in this race nationally and at the state level based on a lot of factors that are out there. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Politics changes on a dime. And here we are chatting in December of 13. The race is 11 months away. That's a lifetime in statewide politics. And the fact is, the Republicans are going to try to run a pretty straightforward campaign, tying Mark Pryor to President Obama and to the health care law that President Obama passed. And of course, Mark Pryor will try to run as much more of an Arkansas Democrat, somebody whose roots in the state go back for a long time, and somebody who at times cuts their own path. I mean, to me, the question is that will decide the race is this going to be a sort of nationalized, generic race where you've got a Democrat and a Republican? And if that's the case, obviously Cotton's got the advantage. If this is a race that's fought more on local terms, on individual brands, then I think Pryor does stand a chance to win.
I know we like to look at the map and see, you know, how would one party take control of a given chamber as it relates to the Senate and the Republicans? Is there any way they could ever take over the Senate without Arkansas?
It's a great question. It's very hard to see any path for them without beating Pryor. I think you have to look at the South, Arkansas, Louisiana, and North Carolina. Mark Pryor, Mary Landrieu, speaking of household names and states, the Pryors in Arkansas and the Landrieus in Louisiana are two well-known names. And then in North Carolina, you've got Kay Hagan, who's a first-term incumbent. If you talk to Republicans in Washington, they'll tell you, if they're taking back the Senate, they have to start with those three seats in terms of the incumbents. There are some open seats that they want to take elsewhere. But in terms of beating incumbents, you got to have those three.
You ready to talk about 2016 yet?
It's 2013, so we should, right?
Exactly.
It's around the corner.
Lots of talk, obviously, a lot of buzz. Hillary Clinton would be the presumed front.
Have you heard some of that, Roby?
I have. I can't remember where I read that. I think it was in the New York Times, maybe in every other publication in America, too. But anyhow, what is the buzz right now in terms of where that sits? Yeah. I mean, is it an inevitability that she gets in this race?
talk to folks in Washington and New York, and Democrats are really anxious for her to run. Part of that, I think, is because they want to make history. She should be the first female president. But also, I think there's a sense that 2008 was a tough decision for Democrats. They picked President Obama over her, not because they disliked her necessarily. They just liked him a little better. And this sense that they can sort of right that by nominating her next time around is, I think, a pretty compelling factor among Democratic primary voters. You add the fact that President Obama is having a tough go of it nationally, and there is, I think, a bit of sort of thought and anxiety about what's next. And she obviously is the one they're looking to, and there really is nobody else besides her, unless Vice President Biden wants to run. But nobody in Washington thinks that Joe Biden runs for president if she's running too.
New York Times political correspondent Jonathan Martin was in Arkansas this month, and we heard part of his conversation with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas, along with David Goines, who happens to be Roby's co-host for the TV program Capital View, which is produced at KARK Studio in Little Rock. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity: coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, December 26th, 2013. Happy Boxing Day.
Oh, isn't it nice to know that whatever got done, you
right.
can quit worrying about it.
That's right. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspaper. She's in the studio with me. Way back earlier in this month when we recorded a Christmas-themed show at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Which was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. We had the highlights, the musical highlights on a couple days ago on Christmas Eve on Ozarks. You gave the studio audience there a list of 12 things, a bucket list of things that should be accomplished or done by the end of 2014.
I did.
Can we go over those now?
We can.
You did month by month.
And I will.
Okay. And if you're playing along at home, you can see how many of these you have done already.
And if you need a checklist, mm-hmm. we'll have this in What's Up.
Very good.
All right. In January.
Just a few days away.
Go see the Stieglitz Collection at Crystal Bridges.
And do that in January. Don't make that one that you try to do in May.
No, because it ends February 3rd.
Right.
This is a huge deal. Alfred Stieglitz was lots of things, but mostly he was a collector of modern art. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away, his wife, Georgia O'Keeffe, and you know that name, no matter how little you know about
right.
art, divided his collection. It's at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's at two places in D.C. And it was at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
And Crystal Bridges now co-owns that collection. So this is a big deal. Go see it.
Now, and I do want to point out, because I've heard a couple people who they've heard Georgia O'Keeffe's name associated with it, so they think that they're going to go and see dozens of O'Keeffe's.
I think there's one.
There's one or two. But that doesn't – just don't expect that and then just drink in what's there.
Exactly.
It's well worth your time.
In February, go to Rogers Little Theater and see Les Mis.
And this is going to be ambitious.
Now, I understand that you might think a community theater is going to do Les Mis. I believe I'll be out of town. No, no.
No.
They've done Evita. They've done Jekyll and Hyde. They've done Chicago. They do amazing stuff. And Ed McClure is helming it. It will be amazing. That's February 14th through March 2nd. In March, this one's kind of just mine.
Mm-hmm.
Go ghost hunting.
Now, not just any ghost hunting, though, right?
If you are a fan of the ghost shows on TV, you will know these names. Amy Bruni, Britt Griffith, Adam Berry, Chris Williams, and special guest Chip Coffee will be ghost hunting at the Belvoir Winery in Liberty, Missouri. You get to meet them. The winery was built within an orphanage that was constructed by the Odd Fellows in the early 1900s. All sorts of reasons for there to be ghosts. The event is March 21st and 22nd, and event pass is $199. And you can find out more at beyondrealityevents.com.
And this special guest, Chip Coffey, who is he?
And one of the granddaddies of ghost hunting.
Okay. Very good.
And if you want to send money so I could go, yeah.
You can't get a press pass?
I don't want to go work. I want to go play.
Okay, very good, very good.
All right, fair in enough. April.
Yes.
You need to go to Theater Squared.
Uh-huh.
And you need to see Hamlet.
Yes.
April 10th through May 4th.
Yeah.
Speaking of ghosts.
Exactly.
In May, you don't have to know what 1066 means.
Battle of Hastings.
Okay. Good job. To enjoy the Middle Ages. It's turkey legs and fair maidens and music and comedy, and I love it. And it's the Oklahoma Renaissance Festival, which is Saturdays and Sundays, May 3rd through June 1st at the Castle of Muskogee.
Mm-hmm. Easy to find, by the way.
In June, if you've never been to the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City, please present your reasons.
It's well worth your time.
I don't get it. You've missed a huge treat. It's a generalist museum, which means it has everything from Egyptian shopti to a 14th century French cloister to a lot of the artists you've come to know at Crystal Bridges. But from April 25th to July 6th, they have an exhibit called Roads of Arabia, Archaeology and History of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It is a huge landmark exhibit.
Go and plan to stay about 5 to 10 minutes just in front of the Caravaggio of David, if it's there.
Yes.
Last time I went there,
it was on vacation.
On the
yes. Yeah. And plan to stay, 15 or 20 minutes in the cloister.
Right. And then go on next door, practically next door, the Kansas City Institute of Art.
Uh-huh.
That's where the big sort of stick figure giant that has his hand in it.
And then there's the Kemper Museum of Modern Art.
So make a weekend out of it.
Find out more at nelsonatkins.org. In July, Opera in the Ozarks, June 20th through July 18th at Inspiration Point Fine Arts Colony. It's 64th season.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be doing Così fan tutti by Mozart, Puccini's Suor Angelica and Gianni Sicci, and Sondheim's Into the Woods.
There you go.
In August, if you're a picker, mm-hmm. or you just like to watch people, which would be just as much fun, you need to pack your ice water and your billfold and go check out the 20th annual Citywide Yards and Yards of Yard Sales, August 1st and 2nd in Eureka Springs, or Bargains Galore on 64 that runs all the way from Alma to Paris.
Gotcha.
August 7th through 9th. In September, mm-hmm. if you've never been to the Ozark Folk Center or Mountain View,
present your reasons.
Present yes. your reasons. And here's an excuse. The Old Time Fiddle Weekend, September 19th and 20th. It's all fiddle, all the time, nightly concerts, instruction by some of the premier players, a fiddle contest. You can find out more at OzarkFolkCenter.com.
Stone County.
In October, Thunder on the Mountain is finding its footing, says our music writer, Kevin Kinder. And Wakarusa is a wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
But Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival is the most accessible of the festivals at Mulberry Mountain.
It's the quiet or the calmest,
yeah.
I would say, too.
Smallest crowd, usually great weather, and what he calls easy to digest music. The festival director calls it a big backyard cookout with great music. Mm-hmm. And it will be sometime in October. We don't
Stay
have
tuned.
Date yet, but yonderharvestfestival.com. In November, if you've never ridden the A&M excursion train...
I know what you're going to say.
Present your excuses.
Yes.
It took me years to actually get on it, and fall's a beautiful time to ride. You can ride from Springdale to Van Buren, get off, go shopping, eat some lunch, see some historic sites, get back on the train, and come home.
Easy peasy.
And next December, if you all do it, and you all tell me you did it, mm-hmm. then I can quit asking you why you haven't done it.
There you go.
Go on an Eagle Watch cruise.
That's right.
Shoot, scat, go. And have a wonderful 2014.
Thank you very much, Becca. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh, my God.
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing. It looks empty.
No, there's someone living back there.
He's a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus. Resident Evil.
Listen to This American Life Sundays at 10 a.m. on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. And as has become an Ozarks at Large tradition, at the end of a year, Kevin Kinder, who writes about music for Northwest Arkansas Media, is with me. How are you, Kevin?
I'm well. How are you, Kyle?
Very, very good.
I haven't slept. I've been trying to work over this list.
Because the list that you and I put together are 10 favorite musical releases of the previous year.
Right.
And last year, I thought we'd have three or four in common. I think we ended up having one.
I think that's right.
I was so sure that what my favorite CD of last year, of Monsters and Men,
that's right,
would be on yours. And then you said, oh, no.
It made an honorable mention.
Yes.
You're right.
So what we do is we independently make our lists. And then we just reveal them to our listeners and each other as this program goes along.
Right.
Let me first say this about 2013. I thought it was a very good year for music.
I had about three different albums where I said, well, that's the album of the year. And, uh-huh. Obviously they can't all be. But there were a lot of albums that I found myself really liking. And then at the end of the year, like I always do, I go through and listen to other people's best of lists to make sure there's something that I haven't missed. And gosh, there were all these albums that I listened to a lot in the last month or so that are also really good. There's just a lot out there.
I think there's more out there than ever before. Well, I know there is because of how music can be released. And maybe this is a sign of age. Maybe this is a sign that it was a busy year for me. But there were some. I still have not heard the Flaming Lips CD. I haven't heard it, and they're one of my favorite bands.
I also missed that one earlier this year and listened to it only within the last couple weeks.
Now, I whittled mine down to 10. I think you've got some honorable mentions you want to get out of
the way. I have like 20 albums that I originally ranked. But yes, I do have some honorable mentions if you want me to rattle them off. So Foles, Holy Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one a lot. Jake Bugg's. Now, Jake Bugg released two albums this year. One he released late last year in the UK. I counted it this year because it didn't come out in the States until April. A little bit like Dylan. I like that a lot. Self-titled Jake Bugg, his first of two this year. Daft Punk was an honorable mention for me. Their new album.
Okay.
Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
Their new album,
which I thought was
AM.
A very good CD, but it didn't make my top 10.
And a band that was supposed to play in Fayetteville canceled with their headliner, Savages, and their album, Silence Yourself, I also really liked.
I'll mention one honorable mention that I didn't get in my top 10, and that's Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
And I really liked that, and for some reason it just didn't get to the top 10. All right, you ready to do
this? Let's do this.
All right, I'll tell you my number 10 first. I'm doing this like it's an old-time game show. I'm revealing them slowly. Number 10, at one point, this was going to be my favorite CD of the year, and then it fell for whatever reason. Wonder Years, The Greatest Generation.
I didn't listen to that album.
Sort of a punk band. They wear their emotions on their sleeve, and you've heard it before, but there's something very populist about it. And if you liked the punk of the late 70s, early 80s, I think you'd like this. Wonder Years, The Greatest Generation.
I'll have to listen. That sounds right. Okay. My number 10, Michael Cronin's MC2.
Okay, tell me about this.
Surf rock guy. He's from California. It's his second solo album. It's a little bit psychedelic. It's a little bit surf rock. It's breezy. And there's just a couple really fun songs on it. Something like Shout It Out. Just from a friend I used to know. About how love can burn so slow. I won't admit it, but my time is running low. I'm getting closer to the door. It's pretty late, I need to go. Do I shout it out? Do I let it go? Do I need it? And his name?
Michael Cronin.
With a K? M-I-K-A-L. Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N.
All right, so we're off to our first ones. We surprised each other. That's great. That shows how much good music is out there.
That's right.
My number 9, this is not going to be a shock to people who know me, Nico Case. She had a CD out this year. I'm not going to tell you the whole title because it's really long, but it starts, The Worst Things Get.
Listened to it several times, and I like it very much. Not on my list.
Okay. I listened to this one repeatedly when it came out. I really like Nico Case.
And I understand why.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
My number 9 is a Scottish synth-pop trio called Churches. And that's C-H-V R-C-H-E-S. And the album's called The Bones of What We Believe. All right, number eight, Patti Griffin, American Kid.
Excellent.
I love Patti Griffin. I think she's one of the best songwriters alive. This is her first new, all-new material in like 6 years. And if you like Patti Griffin, you're going to love this CD. It's just heartfelt. It's the first one she's put together after the death of her father. And I can't say enough about the songwriting.
And she's coming to George's in February.
She is coming to George's in February. And it's going to, I think it's going to sell out. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you better.
Number eight, Tegan and Sarah's Heartthrob.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, I have followed them for a little while, and my girlfriend is a huge Tegan and Sarah fan, and we went to Tulsa to see them live this year. Not only were they fantastic, but the album that they were promoting is just so good. It's a little bit of a departure for them. They got a break as a folk rock duo. They're Canadian sisters. This one's a little bit more on the synth rock.
It's poppy.
It's pop. And they finally sort of made that transition. It's a really great album. And there's just such great songs on it. I could sing you three or four of those songs right now, although we'd lose all the listeners if I tried. But
so Heartthrob is your number eight.
That's right.
Okay. Number seven for me. I'm a sucker for this artist. M.I.A. Matangi is how it's pronounced. I think she is perhaps the most wildly innovative artist working with sound right now. Reviews for this, no one disliked it, but I don't know if some critics are getting tired of her. She did. I think it has made a few top 10 lists. I just think it's so infectious and so fun. M.I.A. Matangi.
It's not one I spent a ton of time with, but I'm with you with the innovative side of things. She is truly creative.
You're a runner, right?
That's
Do you listen to music when you run if you're in a training
run? No, I don't.
Okay, well, never mind, because it's a great running.
All right.
It's great to run to. Okay.
My number seven is a California band that I got lucky enough to see three times in concert this year, and that's the Mowglies. And if you've heard Antoinette talk, you know how much she loves this same band. They're sort of in the same vein as of Monsters and Men. They sort of have that breezy folk pop idea. This is probably, of all the records that I selected, the most straightforward fun. I don't see this one on a lot of best of lists, but it's just so catchy, and there's just some fantastic songs, and it's just a lot of fun.
Okay. Number six. Here's one I think we may have on the, on the list together. Maybe. Jason Isbell, Southeastern.
I do have that on
the list. I think that this one gets better every time you listen to it. I just think he is someone who has, I don't know if it's fair to say he's at the peak of his abilities, because you never know what he's going to do in the future, but he's never, This is just good stuff.
You know, he proved his worth as a songwriter when he was back with the Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah.
And he abandoned that a little bit for some of his first solo records. But I think this one's a songwriter album first and sort of a rock record second. And the characters that he manifests throughout these songs, it's just so compelling. I love the album.
And when you listen to it, it gets better the more you listen to it. And I think that's the sign of a really strong musical CD. So Jason Isbell is my number six, Southeastern.
My number six is it is a self-titled album from a band called Junip.
Okay, I don't know this.
And Junip is a side project of Jose Gonzalez. And I don't know if you know Jose Gonzalez, also a folk singer-songwriter. And this is a band he had years ago, sort of abandoned the project, came back to it. And it's a little bit of a subdued record. Kind of folktronica is how I heard one website describe it. But again, just a really melodic, really catchy album. Okay. So the band is called Junip.
J-U-N-I-P?
That's right.
All right. Now we're into our top five.
That's right.
My number five is they're from Britain. They've been described as moody. I see them as more contemplative. The band is called Daughter, and the CD is titled If You Leave.
I do not know it.
It's not something you're going to instantly hear and go, I've got to put that on at a party. It's not depressing, but it's very contemplative. And though it's not on the CD, If You Leave, they did one heck of an interesting cover of Get Lucky,
okay,
Daft Punk song that
excellent.
You can get away from. So Daughter, If You Leave, they're from Britain.
Wonderful. My top five starts with a band that was at the Amp in September, and that's Vampire Weekend.
You know what? I really like this CD, but for some reason it just didn't, like, knock me out, but I thought it was a very, very good CD.
You know, I've liked all of their albums,
mm-hmm.
and I think this one is the best of the three that they've released. I think it's more mature.
Yeah.
I think it's more just as accessible. I think it's got depth.
So I could never love you in spite of everything. All right, my number four, I bet this one is one we share, Kacey Musgraves.
It is.
Okay. Same trailer, different park. It should be on there just for the CD title alone, but she's great. She's great, and she has really kind of captured across the board. It's not just country. It's not just Americana people that like her. There's something about her that is instantly appealing and instantly genuine.
That's right. You know, you called me out because she's my number four artist.
Oh, really?
As well. That's right.
That's the first time we've ever done that.
We're getting
yes.
close to the top here. You know, I got to see her at the Harvest Music Festival. She came, and she's just so charming.
As soon as you down the first one, if you can't lose the weight.
And I thought it was a great year for sort of this comeback of country female songwriters. Brandi Clark fits in that category. Ashley Monroe is in that same category. And I contemplated putting some of those albums on the list, too. I think that Casey sort of leads that charge, and this is just a great album with some really catchy stuff.
When I revealed this list to somebody else, they raised their eyebrows and said, oh, I didn't think you liked country, which I thought was, no, I love country. Last year, Don Williams was
my favorite show.
I just think there's a difference between some kind of country and other. I'm not going to call out any other artists, but there's a difference between Casey and some of the others, not everybody, who make the top of the country charts, what you hear on radio. And I think she cuts through a lot of the, I don't know what I want to say there, but cuts through a lot of the saccharineness of some other country artists.
I agree.
That are popular right now. There's a lot of great country music being made right now.
I just
don't get to hear it as readily as some other stuff.
And hopefully Casey Musgraves is going to help change that.
I hope so. I hope so. My number three, this was an honorable mention for you, Daft Punk, Random Access Memories. You could not get away from Get Lucky. It seems like every summer there's a song that will either annoy half the people. You either embrace it or you don't. I remember when, he's on The Voice, CeeLo.
Yes.
He's had a couple of songs, and people go, oh, I've heard it enough. If you put that Get Lucky song on by Daft Punk right now, I still don't mind. But the whole thing, the whole album is charming as can be.
It is.
It's kind of retro. It's smart, but it's not too smart. It's not scholarly. It's just fun.
You know, and you speak of Get Lucky. You know, I heard a lot of different bands do covers of it throughout the year.
It was like Crazy was a couple of years ago.
Exactly. That's your CeeLo Green song you're talking about. And, you know, Wilco did a cover of it in a concert. And it's such a good song that it stands up. And there's a reason I think it's on a lot of top 10 lists. It's really a great album.
And I was not a huge fan of this. I didn't dislike this band, but they never connected to me like they did with this one. That's
Same thing for me. My number third album, my number three album, was informed a lot by concerts I saw. This band actually performed in Fayetteville four times this calendar year. It's a group from Mississippi. They are called Water Liars.
We've had them in the studio.
They were here for an in-studio. And their album, Wyoming, is sparse. It is breathtaking. And I just couldn't stop listening to it. When they released this album, they were a duo. They're now touring as a trio and recording as one also. But for two guys making music, it was just a really remarkable album, I think.
All right. So now we're down to our top two.
That's right.
My number two. I don't know how to say her name. I've never heard it pronounced. She released a CD this year called Beautiful Africa. First name is R-O-K-I-A, Rokia? I don't know. And hopefully there are people out there who are rolling their eyes because they can't believe I don't know how to pronounce this. And her last name is spelled T-R-A-O-R-E apostrophe, Rokia Touré. She sings in French. She sings in different, sometimes in English. She plays guitar. She's wicked on the guitar. She's got a beautiful voice, and most of the songs, I don't know what she's singing, but it doesn't matter because it's just really good. We'll have it on the web on the website, how you spell it.
Excellent.
Beautiful Africa, the name of the CD.
My number two album will surprise...
Oh, wait, now I know who your top two are. Yeah. Okay.
You do?
Well, just because... No.
You know, one of the top two,
right.
And I'm actually going to give away the order here pretty quick.
Okay.
This inclusion will surprise absolutely no one who really knows me. I've adored this band for years. I've... included them on lists before in this chat, and my second favorite album of the year was Trouble Will Find Me by The National.
I am good, I am grounded. Davy says that I look taller. I can't get my head around it. I keep feeling smaller and smaller. I need my girl. I need my girl.
You know, they're somber, but they're so orchestral. In fact, one of the songwriters for The National recorded a piece that I know that Katie played on her Of Note show. They're haunting. They're a band that is described as a grower. You know, you put in that album and you say, okay, and then you put on the album again and then you listen to it again and it's new and it's fresh and there are more things to listen to, and there's just a depth of songwriting there that catches me.
Now, my number one is on your list.
It is.
I did a little bit of a poker face there.
Uh-oh.
Looking back over, this is my favorite CD of the year. What do you think from your list?
Of my list.
And you know that it's not Casey Musgraves or Jason Isbell, because I've already put that in there.
Well, now, it might be Vampire Weekend. I don't know why I'm saying that. Tegan and Sarah, here
yes,
we go. Isn't it a fantastic album?
It is. And I've liked them for a long time. And this one just won me over, and it's just great pop music.
All I want to get is a little bit closer. All I want to know is, can you come a little closer? Here comes a breath before we get a little bit closer.
Now you know my number one, Jason Isbell's Southeastern. Just loved it from the first time I heard it, and nothing changed that the more I listened to more music.
Here we sit across the table from each other, 1,000 miles from both our mothers, barely old enough to rust. Here we sit, pretending both our hearts are anchored, taking candy from these strangers amidst the diesel and the dust. And here we sit, singing words nobody taught us, drinking fire and spitting sawdust, trying to teach ourselves to breathe. We haven't yet, but every chorus brings us closer. Every flyer and every poster gives a piece of what we need.
Ask me tomorrow and I may have an entirely
Absolutely.
Different top 10.
But. Absolutely. I think more good, not necessarily great, but more good music gets released every year.
I agree.
And I bet you for every 20 or 25 that we mentioned combined, there are twice that many that we didn't even know about.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
Again in 2014?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
You can hear great jazz right here on KUAF every Friday and Saturday night. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, and my show, Shades of Jazz, can be heard Friday and Saturday nights from 10 till midnight. On Friday night, Daniel Estes steps in at midnight till 1 o'clock with Goodnight Jazz, and on Saturdays, it's Fred Hall taking in the midnight to 1 o'clock hour with Swing Thing. Tune in to KUAF for great jazz.
And Robert Ginsberg is also thinking about the year in music. Once again this year, he gives us his survey of the year in jazz.
2013 can be summed up as the year that the old vanguard came home and produced some of their best work in years, but also the year that fresh young voices continued pushing jazz forward. 2013 was also a poignant reminder that many of the jazz icons of the 20th century continue to depart from the bandstand here on planet Earth. With stellar releases from veteran jazzers Ahmad Jamal, Oliver Lake, Carla Bley, 2013 also marked the emergence and recognition of several new stars. There are no less than 20 CDs on my shelf worthy of the 2013 Best Of list, but I've boiled it down to 5 CDs to review. 3 of them are from vocalists, and 3 are on the legendary Blue Note label. After 2 Grammy-nominated albums on Motema Records, singer and songwriter Gregory Porter made his Blue Note debut with Liquid Spirit. Porter is a singer whose style embodies jazz, gospel, and R&B. He possesses a warm, inviting baritone and a soulful, heartfelt delivery. Porter wrote or co-wrote 11 of the 14 songs. There's a fresh reading of Billy Page's The In Crowd that highlights Porter's rhythmic phrasing. The cover of Max Roach and Abby Lincoln's Lonesome Lover is another winner. But the real strength of Liquid Spirit lies in Porter's original songs and lyrics. The opener captured my ear right out of the gate. No Love Dying Here walks a line between jazz and soul with uplifting lyrics which Porter conveys with conviction.
There will be no love that's dying here. The bird that flew in through my window simply lost his way. He broke his wing, I helped him heal, and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me.
Cecile McLaurin-Salvant has released what many critics have called the vocal jazz album of the year. Woman Child is a stunning debut from the young French-American singer. Salvant was the winner of the 2010 Monk competition. On her first CD release on Mack Avenue, the 24-year-old shows off her range and the diversity of her voice as an instrument. Salvant chose not to simply rework classics, but instead cover songs that are underexposed, mixing in some of her own compositions. The result is a recording that sounds classic and hints at the enduring qualities of Lady Day and Ella, while hearkening the arrival of a vibrant new voice. Featuring pianist and Mac Avenue label mate Aaron Deal, listen as Cecile evokes the spirits of her mentors as she interprets the Rodgers and Hart gem, "I Didn't Know What Time It Was."
I didn't know what time it was then I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was. How sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was you held my hand. Warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own. I did not know what year it was like.
My final vocal CD choice comes from a jazz icon, Bobby McFerrin. Bobby McFerrin's Spirit You All is McFerrin's celebration of both his father and the American musical vernacular called the spiritual, thus the name Spirit You All. Robert McFerrin Sr. was the first African-American to sign a contract with the Metropolitan Opera Company and was also a historic interpreter of the American Negro spiritual, having recorded Deep River and other classic Negro spirituals back in 1957. Bobby reinterprets three pieces that also appeared on his father's release, Every Time I Feel the Spirit, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and Fix Me Jesus, along with old songs and new originals, even a Bob Dylan tune. With an all-star cast of musicians, including Esperanza Spalding and Gil Goldstein, McFerrin has created a brilliant document of his musical prowess and timeless sensibility.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down, I feel better. So much better since I laid my burden down. Feel like shouting,
feel like shouting,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
since I laid,
since I laid
my burden down.
Feel like
shouting,
feel like shouting,
hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down.
New Orleans trumpeter and composer Terrence Blanchard's achievements have blossomed since his formative days in the 1980s with Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. His widest exposure was through his film score work with Spike Lee on movies like Mo Betta Blues. But Blanchard has maintained a recording and a touring schedule with an impressive succession of young bands and award-winning film scores, such as 2007's A Tale of God's Will, A Requiem for Katrina. Blanchard's creative drive continues to thrive in his 20th release and his return to Blue Note Records with Magnetic. The new CD pushes forward the mainstream of jazz with modernist, compelling melodies and outstanding musicianship. Here's an excerpt from the title track, Magnetic. The personnel includes Blanchard on trumpet with longtime sideman Bryce Winston on tenor sax and veteran bassist and Miles Davis alumni Ron Carter.
Thank you.
My final choice for Best Jazz CD of 2013 is on nearly every critic's 2013 Best Of list. Wayne Shorter, the saxophone great and prodigious composer, turned 80 this year. Part of Shorter's enduring genius is his wisdom to surround himself with pianist Danilo Perez, bassist John Patitucci, and drummer Brian Blade. This quartet has been Shorter's focus for over 13 years and continues to make music that defines the highest level of jazz creation and performance. The band's MO utilizes a process of melodic and rhythmic deconstruction, often alluding to a melody but quickly moving on through a creative firestorm of spontaneous combustion. Without a Net is Shorter's first recording on Blue Note Records in over 40 years. Shorter has become iconic in the tradition of jazz legends like Miles Davis, Art Blakey, Herbie Hancock, and Bud Powell, all of whom Shorter has recorded with. Here, the band reimagines Shorter's 2005 composition, SS Golden Mean, with a driving pulse and a playful reference to Dizzy Gillespie's Manteca. '13 produced a rich bounty of jazz recordings, but it was also a year of loss. Some of the great jazz artists who passed away this year include Marian McPartland, a jazz pianist and host of the National Public Radio show Piano Jazz. She was 95. Chico Hamilton, an influential jazz drummer and bandleader who was an architect of the West Coast cool jazz scene. Jim Hall, one of the leading jazz guitarists of the modern era. And also Donald Byrd, a jazz trumpeter, composer, and educator. He was 80. Byrd was a hard bop trumpeter of the 50s who recorded dozens of albums and collaborated with artists like Herbie Hancock, Thelonious Monk, John Coltrane, and Sonny Rollins. And then there was George Duke, the Grammy-winning jazz keyboardist and producer, whose sound-infused acoustic jazz, electronic jazz, funk, R&B, and soul. He was 67, and he appeared on a number of Frank Zappa albums and played in the Cannonball Adderley's band and on Michael Jackson's multi-platinum 1979 album, Off the Wall. Cedar Walton, pianist and composer who interpreted familiar jazz traditions in unexpected ways. And finally, Frank West, who was a key player in some of the all-time great jazz ensembles, including Billy Eckstein's band and Count Basie's big band. Jazz had its losses and its gains, but it's a durable art form, and it's driven by the traditions of the great masters, passing on their influence to the new generation. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Robert Ginsberg.
Robert Ginsberg is the host of Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night at 10 on KUAF. That's all for this Boxing Day edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Eureka Springs.